Welcome to the podcast with your good friend and host, Loopy, and I'm joined, of course, with the lovely Jocelyn. Say hi, Jocelyn.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Joss, and again, it's so much fun being back, and I'm ready to go. Let's go, Lou.
Well, hey, what's really cool about this podcast is we're now joined by a third member of our crew. It gives me great pleasure to introduce to all of you DJ GOC. What's going on, my friend?
What's up, my man? I'm doing really good. Really good. Really excited. Glad to be here. And looking forward to it, man. Let's get it going.
Let's get it going. And for some of you who heard our previous podcast, we were talking about predictions and we were giving evaluations and things about what we think was going to happen in this movie that came out, wow, like April 27th. See, originally it was May, but now it's April 27th. But see, when you hear that music, you're getting a little hyped up now, aren't you? Because I don't know about y'all, but for me, every time I hear this music, it's like I'm good to go. It sets me up. So we could only be talking about Avengers Infinity War, which happened April 27th, came out. And just for all you fine folks that are wondering, well, how's it doing? Well, Infinity War has made, let's take a look, folks. For all you folks that are wondering how much money Infinity War has made, here we go. Just for you, a grand total right now, Infinity War within 12 days of the release, has made $1.16 billion. I said billion, folks. $1 billion in 12 days.
Good paycheck.
Definitely. Oh, man, I wish I would have done my Disney stock. Oh, man. Anyways, so opened up, obviously, taking over the previous weekend release of another Disney product, Star Wars, Force Awakens, Force Awakens. And now it's just taken off. It's really taken off. And, you know, Disney, of course, we'll talk about it in a future podcast, but Disney, of course, is just making money. I think they're printing their own money, guys. I mean, just how well they've done with these movies. I mean, Gio, you weren't with us when Joss and I were talking about Black Panther, but that movie itself was making a lot of money for Disney. So it's real interesting with this one. It's making a bunch of money. And obviously, we're going to talk about this movie. So let's get to it. I know all you folks are like, hey, can you just shut the heck up and let's talk about the movie? Let's talk about the movie. All right. So here we go. So when you hear that music, you were pumped up, ready to go. And the first thing you see, if you guys saw the previous Thor movie, it kind of sets you up there. So,
yeah. Oh, hold on. I think we should warn people. There are spoilers. So just heads up.
Yes. Yes. So if you are currently listening to this podcast, that means you have already seen this movie and would like to chime in with your comments and your questions, which we will be free to open up at the end. But right now, let's set it up, folks. So opening scene, we have, it just takes place right after the ending of the Thor movie, the previous Thor movie. And wow, what a scene right there.
It just was already very morbid to begin with.
Exactly.
I wasn't prepared for just picking off, you know, from that last scene. And I had to think back, like, wait, what just happened? But then I was able to recall that they had just left, you know, in that spaceship. And it, to me, when I last saw Thor, I was like feeling good, you know, like, okay, they escaped. And so they're headed to Earth, but yet what? So that's kind of how I felt.
But I liked it. I kind of liked it because it's very true. Well, not very true, but it's supposed to be like 10 years of building up to this movie. So to me, it establishes kind of, what's his name? Kind of drawing a blank. Thanos has like this really huge, like big bad guy. Like when I saw him on the screen, I was like legit. Like, oh my God, this dude means business. You know what I mean? Just that whole first scene sets it up. You know, and I like it. I'm glad that they set it up that way because it's like, hey, this is the ish is getting real. It's going to hit the fan. You know,
What do you think about the first couple deaths? Because
I honestly,
when I was watching it, I was like, wait, what? That was quick.
Man, I'm not going to lie. Like, I never thought I'd feel sad for like a villain being killed. But when they took out Loki, I was like, oh no. Because you see Thor, like, his reaction. It's like that of, like, I've lost everything. And it hits you. You know what I mean? Then when Thanos is there, it's just this whole, I don't care. All I care about is what I need to get. I care about the stones.
Exactly.
Like that's his mission. He's very, very focused on what he wants.
Like you guys, when I saw that, I was like, whoa. And you guys have just said it. It totally set up the movie that, hey, this isn't happy times. It's the man is here now. The man is here to take care of business. And yeah, to see Loki, it's like, and when you just said there'll be no resurrections this time, to me, that seems
a bit. Yeah, that's a good quote. I'm glad
final.
You brought that back up.
Like, he's not coming. He, to me, told us this guy ain't coming back. Don't even worry about it. He's done. And then, of course, seeing Heimdall die, you know, all the Idris fans out there, I know they were crying, but just to see how he went too, but that's what I like, how he went. You know, he took care of business, helped out Thor, and actually sent the Hulk. And again, we're going to talk about him, but the Hulk is there. He was getting his licks in, then he gets pounded really hard by Thanos, and then it's like he knocked everything out of him. I don't know if that punch he hit him with just knocked every angry aspect out of the Hulk, but it's like...
I think it was, you know what, I think when that battle actually happened, when that fight happened with Hulk and Thanos, I think it was the first time, and maybe just for us as viewers watching, you know, the MCU, that's like, hey, the Hulk is now up against someone, you know, almost even keeled, but even stronger than him. And we haven't really seen that so far. So that really kind of, like, you know, just kind of shook him. But I think it just shook his confidence. He lost his swag, okay? He
definitely
lost his drink swag.
That's
what I got to say.
Perfect.
But I also want to say this one thing with Loki. You know, when I saw Loki the first time, and, you know, he was doing his business of just being mischievous, trying to survive. And I think that's just what he does. He will just go to whatever side he can just to survive. Doesn't matter who he sells out to, as long as he just keeps on going. So for him to actually, you know, to die, I was like, wait, what? And so that totally shocked me. But also, I have a viewer on my YouTube channel. He actually predicted that. So I was like, well, wow, he got it right.
Yeah,
but I
he
was
got
just
points
surprised
in that.
The whole beginning.
Go ahead, G.
Yeah, but I also think that with the Hulk, I think it was, again, it was great because it just shows the audience more of what, hey, Thanos is what he's really about. You know, I mean, I'm not going to name another Marvel movie, well, not even Marvel, another franchise where they had another purple villain, which I was like, okay, I'm not even scared about. But dude, but Thanos, like, he legit, I was like, oh, I feel like a kid again, watching, like, Darth Vader come on screen for the first time again. I was like, oh my God, gosh! You know, it brought you that legitimate, like, this guy's here to take names and whoop butts, and he doesn't care about names.
Exactly. And that, you are so correct on that. The fact that Thanos came on and he was a legitimate, you were scared of him. You know, guys were scared. And I think also with the Hulk being, and again, I'm going to just give my opinion with the Hulk. It was rather disappointing seeing him just turn into a coward, basically, for the rest of the movie. I think later on, maybe we're going to find something out with, like, Banner and the Hulk. They're actually trying to, you know, there's something going on, obviously, within them. But just the fact that I've always thought Hulk was a guy that would literally go out swinging and just maybe, like you said, Thanos just is the real deal. He's not somebody that you take lightly, and suddenly he just establishes himself that, hey, I'm the big baddie and you're going to take it. Type of thing, and you just,
you know what, with that being set up as far as, like, with the Hulk, right? And so now he's scared to come out, like we saw in the movie, and you saw Bruce, you know, he's like, come on, get out of here, and you know, he's like, no.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're having, like, this, you know, split personality conversation, like, come on out, no, you know, and it's happening in that helmet and stuff. But I just think, you know what, something's kind of bound to happen, or that's going to trigger something. And then in with the next Avengers, I think he's just going to come back full force. That we're going to be like, yeah, like, you know, with Return of the Jedi, we're like, yeah, mm-hmm. go. Exactly. But I think that's just setting it up as far as just seeing his soft side, his weakness, even though we're not used to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just all about that character development. But I think it's just going to make us cheer him on, like, when the fight really does happen.
Okay.
The next one.
So we see Heimdall just transport Hulk to Earth, sends him to Earth, and guess where he crashes? He crash lands where Dr. Stephen Strange is, and right there, the protector of the Time Stone, which is all interesting how he was sent there of all places, but hey, he had to send him somewhere. So he sent them to Earth, and I guess the point was to send them to where the other Infinity Stone would be. Sent them over there, and of course, there's Doctor Strange right there. And it's great, you see the establishment that, hey, you know, it's things are starting to get serious now. So you got Doctor Strange, you got Wong there. And obviously, Banner tells Doctor Strange what's going on. So the next scene after credits, we see good old Tony Stark and Pepper Potts doing I guess they were jogging in the park or something. So
yeah.
They're, you know, they're enjoying the day and stuff. And here comes Doctor Strange out of nowhere and just kind of, you know, that just comes out. Yeah, just comes out and says, hey, we got business. And that was really interesting how that happened. And just what's cool about it, too, was it established, again, a lot of establishing stuff here, how Tony Stark, he was pretty much, quote unquote, done being, you know, Iron Man and all that, but yet he still wore something, and that's what Pepper kind of called out, like, wait, you know, I thought you're done with all this, but no, he's still holding on. It's like the guy who's kind of carrying a gun type of thing. It's like, look, I know, you know, I did just in case something happens, you know, so he's kind of just ready to do that deal. So, Gio, what do you think on that? When Dr. Street, I liked it I like it when a character meets another character. What was your thoughts when you saw Doctor Strange and Tony Stark meet each other, and just the conversation too that they had going?
I liked it because it was like, so Tony Stark, of course, egotistical, and you know all about himself, but also it's almost like that's who Doctor Strange used to be.
Exactly.
If you remember the movie.
Yes.
So when he came across him, it's kind of like, okay, I see how the kind of person you are. So because you're basically me.
Yeah.
But also going back to the lone gunman thing, it's very true. Because remember, Tony Stark had PTSD.
Yes.
And it was shown. So it's almost like it is like something he always wants to have just in case.
Definitely. Definitely.
You know, and I love the interaction. I really did. It was great. But also, I think Spider-Man definitely rounded that out as well when he showed up and met
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also
what I wanted to say with that, do you remember when, you know, what I also liked was when Bruce, you know, he was actually explaining who Thanos was and how it all stemmed from 6 years ago. And remember when Tony's like, wait, 6 years ago, that's when it all started. This is the guy who's been responsible for it. I mean, it just piqued his interest. You saw his eyes turn totally wide, like, oh my God, this is the reason why I've been going through all that PTSD.
And also what's great is, you know, they kind of how when, like you said, when the Hulk crashed, it showed that genuine fear. So,
yes.
And you know, like Lou, you touched on a topic where it's like, Hulk is the kind of guy who'll go out swinging, but it's like for him to have that genuine fear, it's like, that is emphasized again to the audience, like, hey, this is not your everyday villain. This is someone that could literally destroy everybody and wants to. Like, that's his mission.
Pretty much. It's like,
what do you guys think about, no, go ahead. I was going to say this, though, real quick.
Yeah, I was just going to
think about Iron Man's new costume.
Liked it. The new suit. It seems like every movie comes out with a new armor. It's like he has new fashion armor all the time. Well, he is Tony Stark, so he can make the latest and greatest, I guess. You know, it's like driving a Ferrari, you're kind of tweaking it a little bit. I think that's what I see whenever it comes to Tony Stark and his armors. You could just...
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, it's like, oh, we got the new model, huh? All right, cool.
Yeah, I got the modern version, you know? That's the great thing about him. He's just... That's what one of the great things about Tony Stark is that he was able to, and we're going to talk about this here, since the first movie in that... long time ago, 10 years ago, when he was in the cave building out that big old armor suit, to where he's at now, where he could just hit a button on his chest and then here comes the whole armor. And the armor that came out wasn't just your garden variety. No, it was top of the line stuff too. See, so just to see all that in development, we're going to talk about this the whole podcast, how all these characters, since we first saw them to where we're at with them now, is just excellent to see. And how you talked about it, Tony Stark's armor. I mean, every movie, it seems to improve, and definitely he goes with the times. And what I was going to say just in this point here was, when you get the battle going, and obviously Thanos is sending now his children to collect stones, and here we go. It's battle time. And that's what I like about this movie. The pace of this movie was so excellent, just in case something happens, you know. So he's kind of just ready to do that deal. So, Gio, what do you think on that? When Dr. Strange, I liked it when, see, for me, I like it when a character meets another character. What was your thoughts when you saw Dr. Strange and Tony Stark meet each other, and just the conversation too that they had going?
I liked it because it was like, so Tony Stark, of course, egotistical and, you know, all about himself, but also it's almost like that's who Doctor Strange used to be.
Exactly.
If you remember the movie.
Yes.
So when he came across him, it's kind of like, okay, I see how the kind of person you are. So, because you're basically me.
Yeah.
But also going back to the whole the lone gunman thing, it's very true. Because remember, Tony Stark had PTSD.
Yes.
And it was shown. So it's almost like it is like something he always wants to have just in case.
Definitely. Definitely.
You know, and I love the interaction. I really did. It was great. But also, I think Spider-Man definitely rounded that out as well when he showed up and met them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And also, what I wanted to say with that, do you remember when, you know, what I also liked was when Bruce.
Oh, and of course, you got Black Widow, my future baby mama or ex-wife.
Blonde. Yeah. Wait a minute. She's blonde now. Does she have to color hair because they're on the run?
I guess. I don't know. Or is Scarlett Johansson doing a new movie and she just couldn't?
Was it a 2-for-1 deal?
I don't know.
2018. She's an independent woman. She can do whatever she wants.
Okay. You are right. She can.
That is true.
I think they established, probably because she was on the run. But also, it was just kind of, you know, giving a fresh makeover for all the characters. But she came in just busting butt. You know what I mean? That's what I love about her. She's one of those characters that you know that if she was alone, she can handle business. And with the team, she contributes to the team. And I loved it. I freaking loved it. And the way she scolded Scarlet Witch, like, you're supposed to chicken.
Yeah, really. You want to talk about mom over sister over little sister type of thing.
Right,
right there. So, well, let's move on. So, well, right after, let's kind of move this a little quicker now. So after that, they go back home. You know, Steve, they go, Cap, where do we go? He goes home. So they end up going back to the new Avengers base. And right there we see the general. Is he a general or is he a secretary? I forgot. Or is he a senator now? I forgot what. Oh, geez, Gio, you're going to help me on this. What's his name again?
I keep wanting to say Kelly, but I know that's not.
Yeah, no, that's a different. That's a different.
Yeah.
I think he's a he was a general. Oh, jeez, I forgot his name. But basically, the guy William Hurt plays. See?
Okay, William Hurt.
Yeah. Well, William Hurt's character, which this is bad that we forgot who he is, but basically he's talking to Rhodey, James Rhodes, who again we saw at Civil War.
You know, Thaddeus Ross, right?
Yes, Ross. That's a General Ross. How sad can we be? How sad can we be to not know General Ross? Bad host.
About Black Widow, and, you know,
we got distracted. Yes, exactly. So General Ross is talking to Rhodey saying, no, well, you're going to arrest these guys and this and that. And, you know, this is the thing about Rhodey. He saw the big picture, you know, and even though Ross called him out that, hey, you signed those accords too. No, he's like, no, but I'm seeing there's a bigger picture going on here. So they come in.
There's a greater threat.
Exactly.
There's a greater threat that you're going to need. You're going to need our team who can, like, handle this because, you know, whatever, they have military. No, this is, like, far beyond their grade level. They're going to need that. This is why they were formed.
Exactly. This is why they assembled. See, this great point, Joss. This is why they were assembled. And here's the thing, too. First time we see Dr. Banner sees the aforementioned Black Widow. It's been a while since they've seen each other. And then Falcon had the line. Awkward. It's a little awkward. So we fast forward now to where we see the Guardians of the Galaxy streaking through the galaxy playing Rubber Band Man, which was really cool. Really cool. I love that part. Playing Rubber Band Man. They're coming in. They get a rescue distress call. They're here to rescue some ship. They get there and they just see nothing but pieces. Because obviously Thanos blew up the ship that was holding Thor and basically all of Asgard. They're out there and they're like, well, what are we here for? And lo and behold, the God of Thunder lands on their pod, lands on their roof, and they come in. And this is kind of like the great scene that I know a lot of people love, was the fact that you see Thor there, and then everyone, you know, all the Gamora and Mantis, they're like, ooh, you know, it's the God of Thunder, this and that. And then here comes Star-Lord, like, you know, trying to establish that he's the alpha male. But it's great how they call him out on it. It's just so great how Rocket just calls him like, Quill, is there something wrong with your voice? You know, it's just great.
No, I always talk this way.
Exactly.
What do you mean? What do you mean, guys?
I know. So what are you talking about? And then, you know, it's funny how when he goes, wait, did you call me fat? And then you hear all this conversation. If you hear what Quill is saying, he goes, that's it. I'm gonna get a Bowflex. You're hearing all that. It's just great how he's talking about all this stuff while there's something really important going on here, where they're trying to wake Thor up, and he wakes up, and obviously Thor breaks the news to him that, oh, by the way, Thanos now has two Infinity Stones, and the first one he said he got it from the Nova Corps. So guess what, Joss? That one prediction we had about that one stone, Thanos already established he got the Power Stone. So we
can. He got that one.
He got it. So we can only assume then that he destroyed the Nova Corps. We can only assume that he destroyed the Nova Corps. He obviously has the second stone that he got, obviously, from Loki.
The collector.
Yeah, so he got
Did
that.
He get
well,
the one from the collector?
Not yet, though. Not yet. We're still at the part where he's talking to the Guardians, trying to tell him, hey, you know, he's got two stones. And then, so all of a sudden, Gamora starts tripping a little bit, like, we need to go where Thanos is right now. And see, Thor, he has a better battle plan. He's like, no, we don't need to go there. We need to go somewhere we can get a weapon to kill him. And I like how everybody, even Rocket's, weapons to kill. Oh, hey, all right, I'm in. You know, Rocket's in on that one for sure. But see, the great thing about that, though, is, see, Thor is already thinking, okay, we need to kill this guy. While you see Gamora now, there's something up here. There's something going on where all of a sudden she realizes now Thanos has two stones, and she's like, we need to stop Thanos. So, as Rocket puts it, okay, the morons over here will go and they will try to stop Thanos while, you know, your captain here and he called him like angel wings or something. He called him something, but basically Thor, Groot, and Rocket take off to go get new weapons, to get a weapon to kill Thanos, while the Guardians, they're on their way now to try to cut off Thanos to get that third stone.
Right, in which they also made mention, if you remember Gamora, she had that look on her face because she knew what stone that he was going to be looking for.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And she had that secret, which I was totally surprised about. But also, let's just talk real quick about, you know, how Thor, you know, and just his presence just being there. He just made himself at home. He just opens up the fridge, like, hey, that's our food. He's like, no, it's mine now. And, you know, he's got nicknames. And he's like, yo, Rocket. It's like, rabbit.
That's great.
It's just like, he was just so funny. I thought Liam Neeson, Hemsworth, he was hilarious as Thor. He just like, nope, I'm the leader, you know, like you just said, and he was just like, and they just went with it.
Oh, definitely.
It was just so funny. He was so funny.
Well, Gio, what do you think? I mean, the God of Thunder, all muscular like that, he comes in, he's gonna, and he kind of has his own little demands, you know,
he's gonna have his little cockiness, of course, I think also, you know, the Thor, what was great was that whole scene where you see his vulnerability, and it's like,
yes.
Hey, because in the comics, you know, they're not gods, but they are perceived as gods by people
mm-hmm.
because of the strength. So it's almost like I can die, you know, and I've
yeah.
lost literally everything, my people, my dad, my mother, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you see that whole, he's trying to hold it together, you know what I mean? But it's that huge, see, he's vulnerable all the way around. And I think that's great. That, again, just the whole character development. If you remember him from the very first Thor movie, he was super cocky.
Oh, definitely,
arrogant.
Yes.
And now you see him where he's just taking more of this, I got to do what I got to do. I've lost my people. I can't lose anymore.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So,
and then it was cool, though, seeing Gamora grab his muscle. And he's like, hey, you don't got to grab his muscle.
Yeah, you don't have to grab. Stop grabbing his muscles now. Yeah, that's great. But, yeah, I love your point about Thor. I love your point about Thor. When we first saw Thor, he was this arrogant, cocky guy who thought everything was owed to him, to where he literally lost everything, his people, his family. Look, even though he was dueling with his sister, it was his sister he found out.
Yeah.
You know, his father died, and then he sees Loki and then Hemel, and it's like, everybody's gone. I mean, his crew is gone. We saw how his crew was gone in the third movie. And so that's why you're right on that, how he's kind of vulnerable. And it's kind of like he also had the, you know what? I got nothing to lose, and I'm going to make sure I get mine on Thanos before he gets whatever he plans on getting. So
that's what I really liked
about what he did. So, okay, so.
And you know,
go ahead.
And, you know, also when you just mentioned the vulnerability, I think that's also a theme, you know, with this movie alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we talked about Hulk, we talked about Thor, we're talking about Iron Man, you know, Vision, all of the characters that we, you know, we hold on to. In this movie in particular, they're definitely showing their vulnerabilities and showcasing them in a way that it's, you know, we're not used to it.
Oh,
and
yes.
We're not used to seeing them in this element, because we're so used to seeing them, you know, just like call to action and move. But now Thanos has just, you know, caught them off balance,
mm-hmm.
that it's difficult for them to find their footing. So that's where we're seeing, you know, like not exactly the weaknesses, but yes, the vulnerabilities in these characters. And mm-hmm. so that's why I think it even makes us movie viewers, it just makes it more of an emotional connection to them. Because
yeah.
we want to root for them, but we know it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better into this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think what Gio said, he established it. You know, he said it in the beginning of our podcast here, the fact that Thanos was the character that he's the evil character that is the real deal. He's not, as much as you're used to the heroes always prevailing at the end, and we're going to get to it. You know, all of a sudden, like you said, the vulnerability, like, uh-oh, hold up a second. You know, we're not winning. You know, usually we'd be winning, or usually we would get this or we would get that. No, you got guys that are so far by this point, you've had half the people, you know, like I said, Thor lost so much right now. And, you know, mm-hmm. all these guys are losing people now. So we've seen characters all of a sudden are being killed and everything. So,
right.
So we have the two groups going to two separate locations, and let's just keep on that point. So we have the Guardians that head into, I guess it's Nowhere. Yes, they head into Nowhere, and they go in, you know, cloak mode, you know, and let's establish before they get there, Gamora makes Star-Lord promise to kill her.
Oh, yeah.
If Thanos, Thanos gets a hold of her, she tells him, kill me. And it's like, whoa, what's up? You know, but so she tells him that. And right there, you kind of wonder, look, when obviously you knew Gamora would have certain feelings whenever Thanos's name is brought up, and Thanos has this, Thanos has that. You knew she would react a certain way. But then all of a sudden, here we go with this. When she tells that to Star-Lord, that's kind of like a, whoa, what's that about? You know, so.
And also remember that background. story where it actually shows Thanos, you know, meeting the with him and Gamora meeting for the first time.
Yeah, see, and kind of
took over his planet, and then he shielded her. Remember that?
Oh yeah,
while Mare killed the rest of the people on her planet, he shielded her. He turned her around and had her focus on something else, and then took her on. You know, took her as his own.
Mm-hmm.
So she was also experiencing that, too, from what she known, and now all this was happening.
Okay. Gio, you were saying?
No. Oh, I was saying that's... Crap, I just lost my train of thought.
Well, we're talking about Thanos and Gamora, their relationship, and how...
Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry, I'm sorry. It was when... You knew it was serious when she said, I want you to make that promise on your mother.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. That's when I heard that. I was like, ooh, that kind of sent me chills. Like, ooh, man, what does she know that she doesn't want to tell Quill?
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll get to it. We were kind of making guesses on what it was, but,
right.
Yeah, at that point, you're like, whoa, she made him promise that. So, that's interesting.
But didn't you like how at that serious tone, all of a sudden we see, who is that in the background, just being invisible?
Drax.
Drax.
And he was invisible for a whole hour. They didn't see him. So
and that's another thing. Going back to the pacing, it was great because
yes,
serious moments, and then it's like, oh hey, Drax.
I know, because how long you been standing there? You know, 1 hour. It's just great.
He's like, if I stand so still, no one can see me. And then he just demonstrated while eating a chip.
Yeah, exactly. So that's great. That is great.